So, yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. And I'm going to start from there 10 seconds ago. Welcome to What Makes a Cut podcast. It's been a while for us recording. We've been busy. It's a holiday season here.
Yep. Mid-November or end of October, early November.
Yeah.
Holiday season.
Holiday season.
You're right.
Both been very busy with work. But yeah, welcome again to What Makes a Cut podcast. Matt is here for another week. Ryan's back from holiday.
Yeah, he had a great time. Did not come back as sunburned as I expected.
No, he's still as pale as he was when he left.
Yeah, I think the jeans did not come off.
No. I don't think he has legs under those jeans.
I've never seen him without them.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Neither have I.
He is as white as that light glow without pants on.
Yep. Anyway, today's movie.
Yeah, we watched Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. It was directed by Steven Spielberg. Starring, this is a pretty big cast.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people.
Ty Sheridan, Olivia Cooke, TJ Miller, Simon Pegg, Lena Waithe. I thought it said Wraith the first time. I was like, that's a sick fucking
last name. Can I change my name to that?
Lena Wraith. Lena Waithe, Mark Rylance, and Ben Middleton. That confused the shit out of me because there's a H in there.
Yeah.
This movie, I was kind of surprised to find out its budget, but I'm also, it kind of makes sense. It cost $155 to $175 million.
That is a, like an estimate of where's that $20 million?
Yeah. Where it should have cost $175, but they can't find it. So they just say $155 kind of thing, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
I get it though. Like, Spielberg's a big actor, director.
Fucking massive.
Yeah.
What else has he done?
Avatar.
Everything.
Jaws. E.T. He's done a lot, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a director that revolutionized CGI.
Yep.
Which this movie is.
Oh,
CGI.
Yeah. I feel like I'm so torn up between this movie where I love it and I hate it.
So this movie in the box office made $583 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I so get it.
You know what pisses me off about this, though?
Mm.
I really like this movie. Thought it was a fantastic movie. I've seen it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
It pisses me off that a movie this good with such decent, really good CGI throughout the entire thing, it all holds up.
Yeah.
There are obviously some moments, but I always put it down to creative choices.
Yeah.
But you have budgets like Amazon with their Rings of Power.
Yeah, which is a ridiculous amount of money spent on a series.
And their CGI sucks.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It just goes to show that money doesn't, you know, money's not everything when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I did want to mention about, like, the CGI and all that, I found, like, the first time I watched it, I just assumed it'd be too much.
Yeah?
Because, you know, going into the VR world, all CGI, and if it's not done right, it's very not right. But they've done it so well. There is just enough sprinkle of real life into that.
Yes.
Works out perfectly.
I thought when I first saw the movie, my tablet just had a fit at me. When I first saw the movie, I thought that it was all pretty much solely based in the
Oasis.
Yeah, that's what it's called, the Oasis.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess that's not bad. That's what it's based on.
Yeah.
But when they showed the real world, like everything happening in the real world that's affecting the Oasis.
Yeah.
And that essentially, I haven't read the book, but Ryan has said that essentially when you're in the Oasis, these are Ryan's words, there's school worlds. All the coughing you hear is Matt sick.
Slowly dying.
Slowly.
But everyone is.
There's school worlds, and you can't leave the school world until school's over.
Yeah, right.
And then there's like certain places. It's essentially like lots of different worlds for different things.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, I Ryan mentioned similar things like that before the movie came out, and he was super excited for it because it's one of his favorite books, I assume. He liked it.
Yeah.
And I thought this movie was just going to be like a over-exaggeration of fun stuff to do in a VR world.
Yeah.
Essentially selling VR headsets. But then they show real-world side effects of what this great thing is, this Oasis.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it. You can make money on it. People go there for work. They show the negative side effects of...
people just giving up on the world. Like
capitalism.
Yeah, and they made a point in the movie of like in, I think it was like 2029 or something like that, where they created the Oasis of like, yeah, the world had all these problems and we just gave up on it. We moved to the Oasis instead.
Yeah, you go to the Oasis. You have a problem, you go to the Oasis.
Yeah.
People are living in RVs stacked on each other.
Yeah. But like, why bother about where you live when you can just visit the Oasis?
Be whoever you want.
Yeah.
Which is a point made in the movie when the main character, Percival, falls in love with...
Artemis. Yeah.
The god of the hunt.
Yeah. The 300-pound stranger living in his
parents'
basement. Yeah,
no, his best friend makes that point, saying you don't know who Artemis is.
Yeah.
Could be a 300-pound man living in his mother's basement.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. Like, I know it's not yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Which, growing up with the internet, we grew up at the dawn of the internet. You met a lot of those creepers.
Yeah, I do not trust anyone that I meet on the internet unless, like, I can video chat you.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Exactly. When I first got a webcam and I was talking to people, I would ask them, hey, want a video chat? If they said no, I'd stop talking to them.
Yeah, fake person.
Fake person.
It's the internet.
Why are you so shy? Oh, I don't look good on camera. Shut the fuck up.
No, because you're a man.
Yeah, you're a man. But I would like to bring up a point.
Yeah,
now,
shoot.
We've played a decent amount of video games.
A few, yeah.
One or two.
And there is more than plenty reference in this movie.
So many. But
oh,
what I appreciate, what I really liked is some of the characters they did change the art style of because it wouldn't fit in the world.
Yeah.
But then there was many characters I noticed, such as Tracer from Overwatch, that looked exactly like
she does
in the game. Like the same matte finish.
Yeah.
She looked out of place in some places.
Oh, it felt so wrong in a movie that's based on a lot of like 80s video games and 80s nostalgia.
Yeah.
To throw like Halo, Overwatch, like recent games into that.
Yeah.
It felt so out of place, but still so right.
That's what I liked about it, is they looked like the games or the artworks that they were supposed to be in.
Yeah.
They didn't go, all right, cool, let's make Tracer look more human.
Yeah.
Let's give her, you know, an actual human-like appearance.
Yeah.
They just went, Tracer looks like this, there you go, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
The Iron Giant is obviously an animated thing. You know, like pen and paper animated. So they went with artistic liberties. And
it looked pretty good.
It looked so good.
Yeah. One thing I want to quickly, like, bring up about what I loved about pretty much any scene in this movie is the directive take on, I know it's all CGI, but just the camera angles, the cinematography of it all, it just looks so nice.
Yeah. And
like, there are views in that where you could not even imagine, like the scene where they're dancing in the Shining.
Yes.
Oh, the camera angles floating around them.
So.
And so a little fun fact about that.
Yeah.
They had two different teams working on the cinematography.
Yeah.
One for the Oasis and one for the outside world.
No.
Yeah. So it was two, they didn't know what each other was doing. One person was designing the outside, one was in the game. That's why there is such a jarring, like, difference between how each scene looks.
Yeah. So, coming back to, like, the cameras and whatnot, when it comes to CGI, you'll find in certain movies that you're taken away from the realism. You go, that's so fake.
Yeah.
Because the same rules in CGI apply to the same rules in real life. A camera can only work within the three dimensions.
Yeah.
In CGI, you can work outside the three dimensions. The moment you start working outside the three dimensions, it takes away that realism.
Yeah.
And what I like about, I'm just going to say Steven Spielberg's work. He works heavily in CGI.
Amazing director.
I think when he does the CGI cameras and stuff like that, he works within the three dimensions.
Yeah.
Real life. He goes, yes, I can make the camera go from here to here through them. Or do these fancy things, go through the ground. I can do these things, but a real camera can't. So I won't.
Yeah.
I'll just cut it.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I completely agree. Like the cinematography in this and the way they approach the scenes, especially in the CGI, are just fantastic because...
Yeah, blows me away. Like you see this and you think, oh, yeah, it's just going to be CGI. It's going to be pretty basic. Like everything before that, like a lot of CGI stuff, you don't really go over the top.
Yeah.
It's kind of predictable.
What do you think about this crazy idea? What do you think about this being a totally plausible reality for us?
Oh, I want to say
not
yes,
in our lifetime.
Yeah, I feel like it could happen.
Oh yeah,
Very very distant future, not 6-7 years from now.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I can't imagine the technology can get there.
I think it's already there, because I was saying this to Ryan earlier.
Yeah.
We already have VR headsets and they're already decent.
Yeah.
I
own one myself. Yeah. You own one as well. So does Ryan.
They're decent.
Yeah.
I recently saw Linus Tech Tips, little plug, shout out, doing a review on the new Oculus, Oculus Quest Pro. And you're saying that the new lenses are amazing. So... in this one, it's still an attached Oculus, an attached headset.
Yeah.
It's not wireless like what we're using. But I think, not anytime soon, I doubt even my children, child, I'm not having more than one, I doubt even my child will experience it to this extent. But I think this is a totally plausible future. Maybe not to the extent of moving like your life there.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's an actual living world that you can make money.
Oh, definitely do believe that part. The part that seems a bit unrealistic is the living in dumpsters.
Yeah. Like there's too much of a dystopian future for me.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes it seem so plausible to me is we have the technology now. In the grassroots of things, we have the headsets, we have the hand tracking for most parts, we have the controls if that's where you want to work it.
Yeah.
We have the omnidirectional pads, haptic feedback's on its way. We have these things, and it just, I was watching it and my wife goes, hey, I say my wife, you know her, tomorrow, just dox my wife, she says to me, she's like, hey, that looks like your headset. And I was like, no, not quite. They're using like a jerry-rigged fucking, you know, future version of the very first Oculus when it was Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, okay. You think we'll ever have that? And that's what got me thinking. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
We might. If Zuckerberg gets his way, we might.
Yeah. I completely see it being able to happen.
Like, I don't know, maybe Horizons, Mark Zuckerberg, Meta Horizons, his little fucking world thing, maybe that'll evolve eventually where you can go to school in VR, where they go, all right, cool, you know, get on your VR, go to school. We know remote learning works.
Yeah.
For the most part.
The one thing that I don't believe would happen is, so the whole movie, he is so strong on, this is just a free world.
Yeah.
There is... no. Everything has marketing.
Yeah.
You, like, Sorrento was right here. The evil capitalist guy. You were going to cop ads.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to cop, like, so many, like, pay-to-win microtransactions. If we get this, it's not for free.
You're going to want to go to your friend's world. Hey, man, come over to my world. Yeah, cool. Loading screen. What is it? A fucking ad.
Yeah.
Buy this now. Buy this, buy that.
That is the only unrealistic part of it.
Yeah. You go to the resort world. What's there? Ads for different types of alcohols.
Yeah.
Ads for different surfboards. Ads for all these different things. There's going to be fucking ads.
Yeah. And, like, I know free-to-play games right now that people are just dumping thousands of dollars on for, like, cosmetic upgrades.
Oh, absolutely.
None of this is going to be free.
No, no. Oh, you wanna look like your favorite, you know, character? $20.
Yeah.
$20.
This isn't going to be a free-to-play world.
This isn't on my list, but what is your favorite of all the things that you saw, all the characters, whether they're, you know, the original design characters like Percival and Artemis, or a cameo character, which was your favorite? Which one made you go, fuck yeah, I'm so happy to see that in there?
Oh, I don't know if it was purely for the character or the scene. I think Mechagodzilla.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it was one of those ones that I never expected.
Yeah?
Where it's like, oh, shit, we can do this? Yeah, we can do this.
I love the transformation scene when it pulls it out and it grows over his body kind
of thing.
Yeah. It looks so fucking cool.
I'm going to say that whole fight scene looked amazing. I'm not much of an action person, but yeah, throw every character you can think of in there. As squeeze as many references in as you can.
The reason it was good is because it wasn't a one-sided fight like they normally do in, oh, the hero's winning.
Yeah.
Sorrento pushed them back a bit and he beat them up and then they came back and there was a struggle.
Yeah.
And that makes it feel real. But you saying Mechagodzilla doesn't upset me. I'm super happy because my favorite was the Gundam.
Yeah, which very close second.
He does his little fucking prey thing and then he jumps out and he's like, I choose a Gundam. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, my dude.
That was very close second.
Oh, so wicked. 2 minutes of a Gundam fight in Mechagodzilla, which is absolutely hilarious because Godzilla destroys Tokyo and and Gundam is Japanese.
Yeah.
Revenge.
Yeah. So that scene there was didn't expect either of them to come out. And I need to still
know
loved
something.
It.
I need to know something. Did this come out before Endgame? I think it did.
Yes.
So Endgame copied this.
Yep. So this was 2018. And Endgame was...
19, wasn't it?
2019. So Endgame was a year after.
Endgame copied it.
Yeah.
I don't care how long they were working on Endgame. They did it first. They got in first.
Ready Player One did it first.
Ready Player One did it first.
So I do have to bring up, like I said earlier, love and hate this movie, right? Love it for how nice it looks, all the nostalgia throwbacks.
Yeah.
But when you think about it for more than all pretty lights and pictures, the story is not a good story.
No.
It is.
That's exactly one of my points.
It is a fucking weak movie.
It's a bland story. It's been done 100 times.
Yeah.
But what I feel like makes it a decent watch is, for me personally, you might relate as well, it's in pop culture.
Yeah.
It's in an area that we live in.
And they did it so nicely as well, where it wasn't just slap ads of yesteryear on there.
Yeah.
They did it like subtly and tastefully.
And yeah, like I feel like because it's based in pop culture, in video games, in things that we enjoy, it's easier for us to relate.
Yeah.
But if you take a step back and you look at it past that and just look at the absolute bare bones of the story.
Ooh, it's a roughie.
Oh, no. Dystopian future. Big bad guy trying to take over. Bunch of misfits that don't quite fit in anywhere.
Oh, the love story.
Oh, God. Boy meets girl.
Oh, I've watched all of her Twitch streams.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
She's like,
oh, I love you.
You won't like what I look like. Oh, I do. And okay.
So I'm guessing this is the only interactions they've had.
Yeah.
Because this
with humans, yeah.
No, yeah. So he meets her for the first time in the car race.
Yep.
And he's openly says it. This is the first time actually interacting with her.
Yep. Seen all her Twitch VODs.
Yeah. I can't imagine that there was much time between that and the end of the movie. Let's say a week.
Yeah.
And
he's in love with her.
Yeah. By the time they get to the second challenge, he's already confessed his love.
Yeah.
That is like, you don't know her.
Yeah.
How weak is that?
She could be a big fat black guy, you know, sitting in his mum's basement.
Yeah.
The thing that So I like little eggs, you know, foreshadowing. That's the word.
Yeah.
I like foreshadowing. Where she says to him, you won't like what I look like or you won't like what I see. It makes you kind of, you know, believe that, oh, she's not a dude. Oh, she's not a girl. She is a dude or something like that.
Yeah.
Or she has some sort of horrible disfigurement.
Yeah.
Then eventually, unfortunately, Wade Watts, the main character, his family gets blown up. And a bunch of people get hurt. He gets taken away by her ragtag band of misfits.
Oh, I do want to say, because I watched this on Prime, the guy that...
I think I did too.
The guy that kidnapped him was... I can't remember the exact wording, but his character was Bad Face Tattoo Guy.
Bad Face Tattoo Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets kidnapped, and then she's got a hair covering her face, and you think, oh, shit, she's got like a scar down her face or something like that from IOI. Like, she's been through the ringer, is what you're thinking. It's a birthmark. Yeah. A very light birthmark.
Yeah, that's it.
I dated a girl with a worse birthmark than that. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
we've
why?
All seen them.
Yeah. Like, have you seen the TV show 911?
Not at all.
Okay, well, there's a TV show called 911. It's about first responders, essentially.
Yeah.
It's decent. It's a good watch. It's a brain dead sort of TV show if you're just looking for something to...
Yeah, just turn your brain off and...
One of the characters, his name's Buckley, he's a TV heartthrob.
Mm.
But he has a similar fucking birthmark over his eye.
Yeah.
No one's going to say you're fuck ugly.
No one cares.
Not, like, especially... We're in 2022. We're all about body positivity.
Yeah.
No one cares. This is set in the future. If we're doing that now, imagine then.
Yeah. Supermodels walking down the runway of Milan and like Paris with the like vitiligo. Skin pigmentation thing.
Yeah, vitiligo.
Yeah. No one cares what you look like.
No one cares.
As long as you care what you look like in a positive way.
Oh, positive, yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're like, fuck yeah, I love me.
Yeah.
Everyone loves you.
She got bullied a little bit too much at school and she's held on to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? But you're supposed to be in your 20s. Like, took me a while, but you get over it.
Yeah. Learn to love yourself.
That's something I want everyone to take from this one.
Yeah.
Words from Matt. Learn to love yourself.
Yeah. Don't do it for me. Do it for you. Just love yourself.
My tablet just died.
Oh, fuck.
It's all right. I'm moving to the phone.
Oh, so one thing that I loved what they did was, so with TJ Miller's character, they portrayed, so we all know the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
We all know MMOs. There is always one person that's like, cringy villain.
Ah.
Oh. The edgelord, but no one, they're not really a bad person.
No. He's just a guy who's trying to, it is literally just a game to him.
Yeah.
He says to Sorrento, I have hundreds of hours worth of stuff in this body.
Yeah. And I do have to say, I loved the cringy skull.
Oh, yeah.
Armor. Oh, it was so tacky, I loved it.
That's the guy in D&D who plays the rogue and doesn't talk. And when he does, he just wants to kill. But he's that guy.
He's the edgelord. Yeah.
You meet him in real life. He's wearing a red and black trench coat. And you know, he's like, oh, there's this darkness in my heart.
Yeah.
All right, we get it. Fucking Dracula.
Yeah. And I love that
oh my God, it's me in high school.
It's everyone in high school.
Fuck, it is. There's a good bunch of us in high school.
Oh, jeez. How did we survive?
Barely.
Yeah.
Fucking barely.
I do love that they even had, like, Daito. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be a samurai.
Oh, yeah.
And throw a samurai in there. Like,
and everyone... ninja, samurai, a ninja.
Yeah. You can just be whoever you want.
I love it.
And that is exactly what the internet is.
I think it is Daito, the little kid. No, who's the little kid?
Sho.
Yeah. She's like, oh, give me a hug. He says, no, ninjas don't hug.
Yeah.
That reminded me of William. I was like,
oh, I so see that though.
Yeah. Just how he says, like, no, ninjas don't hug. I'm like, fuck. My nephew would say that.
Yeah.
So, would you like to play our little game?
Not this time. Oh, sorry, wrong. No, I was thinking of Saturday Night Games.
No, that's a different game.
That's what makes it cut after hours.
Yeah, that's the after hours podcast. Alrighty, we'll start with Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, let's go.
Alrighty, so we'll start with the critic score. What do you think the critics gave it at? It's a percentage of 100.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be a wildly different critics and...
Audience.
Because, yeah, like we were saying, look past the pretty lights and pictures. It is a bad movie. But I still feel like it was good. I made a lot of money. And the CGI was nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Curious who does the CGI.
I want to say, let's give it like a 67. Yeah.
That's the wrong one. That's also the wrong one. 72% critics gave
it. Yeah. No, that's fair.
What do you think the audience gave it?
I was going to say about that for audience. So, yeah, let's hit it with a 74.
77.
Oh.
So close. So, the critics' consensus is Ready Player One is a sweetly nostalgic thrill ride that neatly encapsulates Spielberg's strengths while adding another solidly engrossing adventure to his filmography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fair review.
It encapsulates his strengths, which is CGI and...
just the, like...
fantastical worlds.
Yeah, the world building of it all.
Yeah. And adds another... I like how it doesn't say story, but adventure.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah. It's an adventure into a fantastical, you know, totally plausible, possibly happening now world.
Yeah.
Just quickly, the... ILM, Industrial Lights and Magic. That is, I believe, I think ILM was started by George Lucas.
Yeah.
I think they're the people who did Star Wars.
Yeah, I see that.
Spielberg's a big friend of George.
Yeah.
So much so that they had a bet on Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Whichever made more money, the other one had to pay the differences.
Oh, that's a big bet.
Spielberg lost.
Yeah.
Star Wars was big.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess out of 10 stars on IMDb?
Yeah, let's...
Don't forget there's points.
Yep. I'm going to give it a 7.1.
7.4, my dude.
Oh, I'm shooting low.
7.4.
I have no faith in...
It is a very highly rated movie.
Yeah.
They tend to like it a lot.
Maybe I'm just the one that doesn't like it.
No, I think... we'll try and find a rotten review. Read critic reviews.
Yeah, it was one of those movies that I've watched it a few times, and the last few times watching it, I do remember liking it just for the, like, all the callbacks and,
yeah,
like, all the references. This time I was watching it, and I was like, all right, look, I already know that there's Iron Giant, love that character, already know, like, can't get past King Kong, like, already know all these references, let's watch it for the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, don't.
It's different when you're watching it for a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't watch it for a critic's view.
Yep.
Or like, don't watch it for the story. Watch it for the fun references.
That's something that kind of pushed me away from this podcast when we first started, because I was going in there and I was trying to look at all the things that made the movie what it is, the camera angles, all that sort of stuff, and it was making me detest movies.
Yeah.
But now I just watch a movie and then I replay it back in my head and think, what did I like and what did I not like?
Yeah.
Rather than trying to nitpick at why I'm watching it, because then you stop enjoying it.
Yeah.
There are plenty of bad movies out there. We don't need to start thinking the good ones are bad too.
Yeah. And if you're only watching good movies, you're just stuck watching Godfather.
Yeah.
Like Forrest Gump, Shawshank.
Forrest Gump is a good movie.
You're only going to be watching the classics. You're never going to watch the fun ones.
Yeah. So here's a rotten review.
Let's hear it.
By Joe Lipset. This isn't his full review because they... Yeah, no, just... He gave it a 1.5 out of 5.
Yep.
An ugly FX monstrosity that misunderstands a misguided message of the book. Oh, sorry. I need glasses. An ugly FX monstrosity that misunderstands the misguided message of the book and fails to address its... antiquated notions of race, gender, and capitalism. Abysmal fan service from Spielberg, who should be able to shoot and edit a climax better than this. Okay, firstly, it's antiquated notions of race, gender, and capitalism. I don't get that.
Yeah, I...
There was...
Yeah, I don't agree with anything they said there.
Two Asians, a black person, and two white people. Like, if that's... I don't understand. What old notions of race, gender, and capitalism? Like, there was no damsel in distress.
Well...
Even when she was captured...
The Asians were samurais and ninjas.
But that could just be them, like, going into their culture.
Yeah.
Like, motherfucker, I wore a kilt to my wedding. I embraced my culture. That could just be them embracing their culture.
Yeah. Like, I'm not justifying the comment. I'm just trying to, like, see what they were thinking when they said that.
The gender, is it like the damsel in distress? Because I didn't see a damsel in distress. Even when she was captured, she was essentially dicking around and fucking with them.
Yeah.
She was the one who broke down the shield.
Yeah.
Where's the damsel in distress?
Unless they're saying, oh, the main character was a boy, so no.
I don't see him as the main character. I see him as a main character.
I don't see him as a main... I see him as a character.
Yeah.
There was no main character energy there.
What was it called? The high five.
The high five.
They're the characters.
Yeah.
They're the characters. Not Wade Watts. Yes, he was. It was told from his perspective.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's the main character.
I want to say Halliday was the main character.
Yeah.
Because we have no character depth on anyone else.
Talking about Halliday... The first time you watched it, did you see the fucking twist?
No. What twist do you mean?
That the entire time, the curator was his best friend.
Did not see that coming. No.
The first time, I didn't. The second time, Tamara's watching with me, and I said to her, I was like, all right, when you first meet him, I go, pay attention to everything this guy says and does.
Yeah, I did not even
still didn't see it.
Yeah. I didn't even think to look for the references there. Yeah. I'm normally like pretty spot on with foreshadowing moments like that.
Yeah. When he gives him the coin.
Yeah.
You're thinking, whatever. And he's like, no, I don't want it. He goes, no, take it. Because he had shown him something. He goes, this is the only time in all the archives that she's mentioned. And he goes, no. He's mentioned it before. She's like, no, I've been through it. And he goes, I know she's been mentioned before. He checks. No. That's his best friend.
Yeah.
And he's just been proven wrong by a perfect fucking stranger.
Yeah.
So imagine how he feels.
Yeah. He said, oh, I'll bet all my coins on it.
Yeah. One coin.
Didn't mean it. But yeah, he...
Gave him a coin?
Yeah. I feel like it was just a saying.
Yeah. But everyone, everyone thinks he's an NPC.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until he walks up and he, right at the end, he's doing all that stuff. He's like, how did you know?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, hello there, sir. I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
This whole time, the curator essentially helped them.
Yeah, who was the... Was that...
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, Simon Pegg.
Scotty.
Yeah. Oh, I do love Simon Pegg.
Oh. The Cornetto trilogy?
Yeah.
Right?
What else for?
I didn't even know that was because it's not technically a trilogy, because they, you know what I mean? Like,
but it is, though. It is. Yeah.
Because apparently there's a Cornetto on every single one of them.
Yeah. That's the connection.
Yeah. But yeah, having him in the movie. So I think when I first watched that, I heard he was in the movie.
Yeah.
And then someone said he plays the curator. And I was like, okay, yeah, he plays the curator. I can hear his voice now. Yeah. He's British. He's just making it a bit more pompous.
Yeah.
And then he turns up like, okay, this is where he is. He must have done the voice and he plays this character, which that's how you save money because they've done it before.
Yeah.
Family Guy. He plays like 30 different fucking characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you find out that, yes, he did play the curator and that guy because he played that guy who was the curator.
Yeah.
It fucking blew my mind. I was like, that's a nice twist. It's not it was not like a big bad evil guy twist. It's a nice twist.
Yeah.
It's a wholesome twist. There's something else I want to ask you. There's literally something else I want to ask you. But I fucking forgot. Oh, here we are. I'll do another rotten review and see how you feel about this.
Let's hear it.
It's not nostalgia so much as a hyperactive computer algorithm.
No, I kind of see that. Because they've just shown you all of the things of...
What you want to see.
Yep.
Yep, no.
And it is a strong... you know that South Park episode about the member berries?
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember this?
Yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah. If you break it down into certain scenes where you see, like, they pan the camera nice and slow as he walks past, you see this character, you see the DeLorean.
Yeah.
It's littered with...
The bike from Akira. Like, all of these is just...
All these massive icons. Oh, I remember icons. That.
It's just enough to, get you through to the next one.
You're watching it with your mate who, you both know different things, and you see it and you go, hey, that's the cycle from Akira. Hey, DeLorean. Hey, King Kong.
Hey, holy hand grenade. Like,
yeah.
All these little, just enough to get you through to the next one.
Hey, Rubik's Cube, because we're fucking nerds, and I'm sure I can finish that in 18 seconds.
Yeah.
I can't do it on a Rubik's Cube.
I have never finished one, unless you count taking the stickers off and put them back right.
Wait. I thought that was the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Did you... I don't know if you ever... I'm going to ask Wyatt if he ever did. Wyatt had a... I think he said 100 square?
Oh, fuck. That he's working on? I don't have the time.
I don't have the patience.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, I barely sit still for 40 minutes doing this podcast.
My brain's too smooth for a 100-side Rubik's Cube.
I have one crease. And that's my remember to have a migraine crease.
Yeah, I do not see how anyone has the time, patience, or effort to do a 9-sided Rubik's Cube, let alone anything more.
It's a lot. But he had 100, I think it was 100 squares or something like that. 100 squares a side or 100 squares total. I don't remember. It's still the what is it? 8 colors? 6 colors? 6 colors.
Yeah,
but too much. It's huge. I think. I'll have to check to see if he ever completed it.
Mm. I'm pretty sure he hit it with a hammer and then put it back together in the right way.
I don't know. He's a very patient person.
Oh, too patient for me. I need some fast and loose energy. This fast and loose energy of the light globe's out. Let me steal another from another room.
And didn't even tell the house owners. We came into the studio and the fluorescent globe was gone. So I went into the kitchen and stole the kitchen light globe.
Ryan's going to love this when he hears it on the podcast.
Yeah, Ryan's going to love it. Or he's gone in there and figured it out already.
Never mention it until he hears this.
Oh, yeah, I'm not. I'm going to leave it in here too.
Yeah.
On that note, you got anything else you would like to add?
No, I just want to say thanks for having me on the podcast for a little bit.
You're more than welcome to come back. I'm sourcing more microphones.
Yeah.
I'm going to get more like that because I don't like this one.
I do enjoy this one.
Yeah.
And also, your wife is about to pop soon, so I'm sure I might be taking over you for a couple of days every now and then.
Yes. You're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
I haven't decided what movie for next week.
But Ryan should be back for that one.
Yes. I might give Ryan another week off because I'm going to see a movie with Michael on the weekend. And I'm thinking maybe if he would like to, if maybe we could just make it like a supplement episode, we can sit down and have a quick chat. We're going to see the One Piece movie, One Piece Red. I think maybe Michael might want to come join me.
Again, I do not know how you have the time to be up to date with One Piece.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I think he is.
YouTube. He watches recaps.
Ah, that's so much more sense.
I'm not up to date at all.
Yeah, I don't have 1,000 episodes worth of time.
No. I couldn't even get through Bleach, 350 episodes.
Yeah.
I just went, I kind of remember.
Yeah, you'll figure it out on the way.
I'm watching this because I like One Piece and it's a canon movie. Yes. But yeah, I'll talk to Ryan. If Ryan makes that a supplement episode because it's a newer movie, I'll have to figure out what the movie is and you'll all find out sometime in the next 7-40 business days.
Good luck. Hope all the best. And one thing you forgot to ask. Are we sending this on the golden record to the moon?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I'm for it.
Yep.
Has to be VR moon though.
Yeah, can't do it to the real moon.
No.
Too much trash up there.
Send this through the Oasis onto the digital moon.
No, honestly, I think so. It's Spielberg.
Yeah. Spielberg, he's got his own little storage unit up there. Send them all up there.
Wouldn't fucking surprise me.
Yeah.
He has a lot of money, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's got a house on the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Spielberg, Elon Musk, Steve Jobs. He's still living up there.
Oh, yeah, he's alive. Disney.
Yeah. Disney Walt Disney. Yeah.
Disney too. Anyway, we've been What Makes a Cut? you're more than welcome to come back anytime you like, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, don't do school, stay in drugs.